Morning, everyone. Good to see you all. I'm going to read you a verse from Hebrews 11, verse 6. It goes like this. God rewards those who diligently seek Him in faith, not casually seek Him in wonder or doubt. If anyone earnestly seeks God, fully expecting an answer, he will be shown what he's been put on the earth to do. Now, I'm sure all of us has asked the question, why am I here on earth, or in our lives somewhere? And yet, it starts with just asking Jesus out loud in your quiet time, Jesus, please reveal to me, why am I here? The second thing is, you know, if you want Jesus to show you a direction, you need to be anchored. And that's why you need to be part of the body of Christ. And that's why you need to be part of a church. You know, when you jump from church to church, it's almost like you're not anchored somewhere. So in terms of walking in accountability and getting that direction, you need to be anchored in a specific church itself. Lastly, when you serve people, whether it's with your what you have, with your hands or with your mouth, that's all part of why, you know, how Jesus actually shows you your value and your identity in terms of why you're here exactly. So when you go out there, please be assured that, you know, when you're using your mouth specifically in your family, building people up, help them and help Jesus to reveal to those people why exactly they are here. All right. Let's just pray. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you very much that you are here to show us exactly why we are. And thank you that you put the people around us to help us and show us the direction, Father. And thank you that we can serve you with what we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to share something with you from our amazing, 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 amazing word. The word of God. It's from Job. Many of us seem to go to Job these days. There's so much depression going around. And I just want to encourage you this morning with this fantastic word from God. Job 14 verse 7, it says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the ground, in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant." Is that exciting to anyone? "Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant." I want to encourage you this morning to run into Jesus' arms. Just run into His arms this morning.
I just want to start off with something that I just believe is in God's heart this morning. Some time ago, Lynette and I, with my two boys, and we've been blessed with busy, busy boys, which is amazing. But the one, Christian, he's an adventurer. He's seeking adventure. And it was the Biltong Feast there opposite the Dutch Reformed Church in Hartnott, Holland Dutch Reformed Church. And we were just talking to, I was talking to Donnie, and the next moment Lynette stood next to me and she said to me, "Come." And I realized, oh my word, he's gone. And there's thousands of people, and that river is that deep, and it's coming down very strongly, and there's tractors, and there's cars, and there are drunk people. And I started running. I started looking, and I didn't see my boy, and I got the fright of my life. And Lynette said she wanted to faint, and I just started praying. I said, "God, in the name of Jesus, I pray your angels to come and protect him in Jesus' name." But then these thoughts of this old man that grabs him, that wants to sell him as a sex slave, wanted to come into my mind. And I just said, "Jesus," I asked. The next moment, I just knew I had to run. And I ran. But this is a half an hour that we've been looking for him now already. And I started running, and I knew there's this tractor. I had to run to the tractor. When I came to the tractor, I saw him on the other side of the tractor. He was moving these cones where all the cars are coming past. He's 3 years old. And I got him. I was so relieved when I found my son. And I took him home, and I just phoned Lynette. And luckily, she went to her phone, and she knew it's fine, and she can relax. And Tanya over there, she was so amazing. She'd left everything and Donnie, but she did everything in her power. She went to the security people and said, please come and look for this boy. This is what he looks like. And afterwards, he said to us, relax, don't worry. I'll go and speak to the security people. You can just go home, because we were like shaking like this, because I had the fright of my life. And, you know, I said afterwards to some people that for me, Tanya can do anything she wants. She'll always be my favorite books, because she left everything to go and look for my boy. She let everything go so that we can find my boy. And I think the same is with the Father. When we let everything go for that one sheep to go and find that boy, God rejoices in that. And that is, I just want to say thank you to you from me and Lynette, Tanya. But for us, that's just a picture of the Father's heart for that boy that was lost. And we leave everything to go and find him. So for me, a lot of has happened the last few weeks. And the conference was probably my highlight. And if you could not make it this year, you cannot afford not to go next year. I want to be honest with you. God spoke so clearly to us. If you're not there next year, you're missing out. You must plan now already your calendar for next year, because God speaks at that conference. But I want to say to you, Somerset West, you guys are amazing. I was so proud of Somerset West, this conference, because the word that was given was about sons of God, and it was about servanthood. And Somerset West was that. It was sons of God that came to serve sacrificially. They just came and gave everything. Wherever I looked, I just saw Somerset West guys serving, surrendering everything they had, just coming to serve the purposes of God. And I'm so proud of you guys. I want to say to you, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of this congregation. And I really believe that God came to give a message through you guys. Afterwards, at the pastor summit, we all came together and they said, what was the highlights? What was the highlights? And many people spoke, but there was the silence. And someone said it was the volunteers. And then people started talking about the volunteers from Somerset West, where the one guy was standing in the rain. That's Werner. In the rain, he was standing to guard the people's cars the whole day. He was just standing there because he felt God placed him there, and that's where he wants to be, and he was standing there. People had slept 2 hours. I don't want to point people out, but I'm so proud of you guys, and I'm so proud, and I'm so excited to be part of this congregation. I'm so inspired by just seeing how you guys served God and the purposes of God. Just from the Wednesday night where everyone just came to pack chairs, and then when the guys came and they were clapping as the people were coming in, and the ushers and the guys at the back, and it was amazing the testimony to see and the friendliness that you guys had. Because whenever people walked in, I could see with Somerset West people, because there was whiteness because of the teeth. And guys, I just want to say thank you so much. You inspired me. You inspired me to greatness. Because I know now there's great things that can come through this congregation because of who you are. So thank you so much. We've done it for, it is for God. It's not for people. I've seen a few of you died to yourself, because it was tough. They were fighting with one another now and again. And then I think it was Friday night, the Spirit of God fell on the volunteer room and people were crying there. They didn't even know what was going on, but the Spirit of God just came upon them and they started crying. They were being touched right there in the conference, in the volunteer room. And it was amazing. At the same time, 70 kids got Spirit-filled and they started praying in tongues. 70 kids. At that same time, the Spirit of God just moved all over the conference, and people were touched. And I think this is so amazing to me, that we understand that God's heart is for the servant. And this is what I believe we have been called, not to serve, but to become servants. And I want to say to you guys, this is who you are. And Amanda came to me and she said to me, I've got a word for you. God says that you are the first fruits of the sons of God for Shofar. I want to give that word to you. It's not me, it's you guys. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud to be part of this congregation. So thank you for your, for everything that you've done, all the prayer that's gone in there, the guys that came, those of you who have not come. I just want to run through what was said, because all the speakers came together in unity. It was just so amazing to see how what God had laid on their hearts was being confirmed, and how the same scriptures was being given by all the different people that could speak into our lives. And this is really what God had spoken. We decided to pray on Wednesday morning for the conference as well. And there's one scripture that came out that was just so amazing. Psalm 51 verse 18 and 19 that says, "Do good to Zion in your pleasures, and then build the walls of Jerusalem." Build the walls is build the kingdom of God. "Then you will delight in right sacrifices." So for us, for me, that was such an encouragement that God came to speak to us as a congregation once again, to say what he was going to come and say at the conference as well. Then Thursday morning, all the pastors got together and we were introduced to Peter Hammond, Errol Naidu, maybe you've heard of him, and Aaron Giorgio from Joy Magazine. And they just came to give us a presentation of what's happening in the world. And basically, when they spoke to us, I just realized God saying, "Guys, open your eyes. Open your eyes to what is happening in the world at the moment." And, you know, Errol Naidu spoke to us and he said, you know, the church is silent, but the world out there is really coming against us as a church. There's a gay agenda to silence the word of God. And I have to say it, but if we don't understand the agenda that's behind it, that the Bible is going to become and be declared hate speech, that this is what they're going after. They want the word of God to be declared hate speech. So we must be awake. We must start praying. Because if we cannot read from the Bible anymore, we cannot have church. We will be persecuted right here in our own country. And this is not far off. The agenda from where it came to where it's now, we are so close to that being, to that happening into our world. We must wake up. And Jeremy Riddle had the song, "Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, church. We've got to wake up to what's happening in the world." Peter Hammond came and he spoke to us about what's happening in Islam, how the bombs, our churches are being targeted with bombers from the air. They fly over and they bomb the churches. And the bomb will fall next to a church and all the shrapnel will go all the way to that side. If it fell and it was evenly distributed, the shrapnel, everyone would have been dead. The people run away, then they come back more than they were before the church service, because the people are hungry for God. There are people in Egypt by the millions fleeing Egypt because they are being killed. People are being burned. People are being hanged. People are being stoned because of their beliefs in Christianity. So there are things that is happening out there that we must really understand what is happening. And if we're not going to be awake as Christians and understand that there's something coming against us, we are going to be thrown completely. And I just want to say to you guys, open your eyes. See what is happening around the world. The funny thing is, you know, in these Muslim countries, there are people being thrown, homosexual people are being killed or being hanged for who they are. But the Christians are saying, no, this is not from, we just don't believe it's from the word of God. But in Muslim countries, they are being executed, they are being hanged, and no one is saying anything about that. So many things are happening out there, and we must open our eyes. We must see what is happening. So for me, and if you believe this cannot happen in our country, Peter Hammond just said to us, the Byzantine Empire, where Constantinople was, for 1,000 years, that was the middle point of Christianity. It's now Turkey. It can happen to all of us. Europe is apparently 40 years away from being a Muslim continent. They have already decided to name London, Londonistan. There's 25% of the people in Europe is Islam. So there's an agenda that's coming, and we must open our eyes. We must be awake in the Spirit. What is God showing us? Then Rick Russo came, and he said to us, the church must gather to scatter. The church must come together to be filled with the love of God so that we can scatter and go and show people the love of God, that we can influence, have an influence in the world around us. And he said something that really struck me, and he said, we do not change when we see the light, we change when we feel the heat. Isn't that so true? We only change when things become tough for us. That's when we change. When you lose your job, now suddenly we start praying. Or, you know, something, you get sick, or someone, a family member gets sick, now we start praying. But when God speaks, we don't change. We only change when we start feeling the heat. And he asks us, do we as a church impact the community as a church? And this is a hard question for me, because are we as the church impacting the community? If we get wiped out, if a bomb falls amongst us here today, will they miss us? Will this community in Somerset West miss us? Will they know that Shofar Somerset West is not here anymore? The other question that really got to me was, if Jesus was the mayor of Somerset West, Strand Gordons Bay, what would be different about this town? The other question I want to ask you, if Jesus was the pastor of this church, what would be different in this church? And this is a question I ask myself, but I'm also asking you, when you come to worship, when you bring your offering, when you bring your gifts, what would be different in your heart if Jesus was standing here? But what would I be doing differently? So these were tough questions that was being asked to us. Then Rick Russell talked about this dirty stream, and he said what we do is there's a dirty stream, and we don't like the stream, so we move back and we criticize the stream, and then we move a little bit more back and we criticize more of the stream, and eventually we're so distant from the stream that we don't even see it's dirty anymore, but we start our own stream. And he said Christianity is not supposed to be an adjective, a Christian school and a Christian business and a Christian, all these things. It's supposed to be a school that's been influenced by Christians. It's supposed to be a town that's been influenced by Christians. That really got to me. I really realized that there's so many things that we have been influenced by the world to think differently. We have been called to influence our cities, our environments, the places where we work. The other thing that he said was that the church is not defined by the numbers, but it's defined by the lives that are being changed. And I think this is so important, that we don't run to grow in numbers, but people's lives don't change. That people don't come to a place where they completely surrender to who Jesus is. Something else that he said that I realize, and I've known it for a long time, but it's great when he said it, but Christians will not grow unless they serve. Unless you serve, you will never grow as a Christian. You will come to a place, but you can only grow so much with knowledge, and then you'll become like this. Then there comes a place where you start serving and you grow more. And then there's a place where you start taking responsibility and you grow more. If you don't learn to serve, you will never grow as a Christian. And then he said, you know, we many times come and we sit in the middle lane of an aeroplane because we want to get out quickly. But we must actually learn to come and sit at the window seat, that we can see what is going on around us, that we can see the difference that is going on around us, that God can start showing us what is happening around us. Now, for me, God clearly spoke to us about this, but how are we treating people? How do we treat people around us? We had the pastor summit, and Sias rebuked us afterwards. He said the people who were serving us food said, these are the most, rude people they've ever met. The pastors of Somerset West were the most rude people they've ever met. They were so angry with us, and I thought, well, why? I wonder why they're so angry. But how are you treating people? And I just realized we had to repent. We were on our knees repenting, say, God, forgive us. We were being disciplined. But how many times do we walk in a place, we disregard people for who they are? We walk past them. We don't give someone the time of day. Is that who we should be? I really believe God is really speaking to us, saying, guys, who are you? What's in your heart? Where are you at this stage? Then we heard the story of the Good Samaritan, in the Good Samaritan, there was this man that was robbed. Maybe all of you know this story. I just don't want to go into it. But the priest walked by, the Levite walked by, and then the Samaritan, the guy from the downtown, he walked by, he saw him. First he saw him, his eyes were open, and he had compassion. Now, what he said was this man didn't wake up the morning saying, I'm going to walk into someone and today I'm going to help them. When he saw the need, he had compassion and then he helped. He didn't start an NGO, he just helped that one person. That one person he helped. And I think this is important for us that we don't care so much about the whales that are being killed and not care about the women that are being kidnapped and sold in the sex slave industry. I think we care so much. The people get so upset about the rhinos that's being killed, but they don't care about the boys who are being molested. You hear what I'm saying? We must get our minds the way we think. We must get it straight. We must come before God and say, Lord, what is wrong with our hearts? We care so much about what happens in the rugby, but we don't care about the people who are suffering. We don't have anything to go for. I'm just so challenged, guys. I'm just talking to what is being said to me, what I've heard for me. I'm not talking to you. You guys are probably much different. But I just realized we don't see people as value. And Rick Russo, he took an old trick, apparently. This is the first time I saw it, but I think it's fantastic. He took R100 and he asked someone if someone wants the R100. And a guy came forward and he put it under his arm and he stepped on it. And he just did many things that no one wanted to touch the R100. And he said to the guy, do you still want it? And he said, yes. And he said, why? The guy said, because it has value. And it doesn't matter what a person looks like from the outside. We must remember that that person is made in the image of God. That person still has value. That any note can be cleansed when we clean it, that people have value. So I've been so challenged. But when we see a people in need, a person in need, we don't think what is going to happen to this person. We think what is going to happen to me if I help this person. That also challenged me, because that's many times the way that we think. We're so focused on ourselves, we're going to be inconvenient, and we're not thinking what's going to happen to this person if we're not going to help him, because they just got divorced, the two children by themselves, or whatever the case might be. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 said that by grace you've been saved through faith. And that's amazing, because by grace we've been saved by faith. It's not the work that we do. It's because of grace, of God's grace, that we've been saved. It's not our own doing. It's a gift of God. So there's nothing that we can do to inherit salvation. There's nothing. It's a gift of God. It's for free. We must just respond. Say, God, I want this. I want it. So there's no works involved in salvation. It's for free. There's nothing you can do. You can't serve your way into heaven. You can just accept it and say, thank you, Jesus. And then verse 9 says, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But then verse 10, very interesting, says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we have been created and saved, and out of that, the love of Jesus compels us to go and do good works. It's not, we don't do good works to go to heaven, but when you understand the love of God, you are compelled to go and make a difference somewhere, to go and love those ones who don't feel loved. Matthew 25 said that Jesus said, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of these, to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I was challenged, what would happen if I become the best neighbor I could be? If I started praying for my neighbors, if I started doing things that my neighbors would think, why is this guy doing it? And I was asked this question, do I care? Do I really care about people? Do I really care about people? You know, this one picture when you go to a buffet and a man comes and there's all this food that you can eat, and you sit and you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat the fish and you eat the boat, my favorite, and you eat all the potatoes and you eat everything that there is. And then the fish come and you eat all of that and the calamari and you eat and you eat. And then eventually you're so full you just can't eat anymore. And then someone has their brighter there, but there's pudding. And you go, oh my word, pudding as well. And then you start eating and eventually you're so full you can't do anything anymore. You're just so full. And you eventually, if you continue eating, you will throw up. And this is the same for us as Christians. When we go and we get fed all the time, but we don't go and do and serve, we'll throw up. We'll come to a place where we can't be fed anymore. When you go, you have to be a lean Christian. You cannot be a fat one in the kingdom of God. You won't be mobilized if you get filled all the time. Timothy said we must be ready to give an answer at all times. And when last have you had to give an answer? When last did someone ask you the question, are you aligned in the position so that someone can ask you a question so that you can give an answer? Are we aligned? Is anyone asking you the questions? And Chris Lodewijk came and he said to us, he talked about the good news, that the gospel is great news. It's amazing news. It's news that we all, when we accept this news, that you go to heaven and not to hell. That's great news. And Isaiah 52 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes grace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to the Lord, your God reigns. So how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And then Romans 10 verse 14 says, how then will they call on him if they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It's our testimony. It's who we are. It's the message that we bring across where we work, where we meet people, the school of our children, where we are. It's good news. It's and do we care enough for people to bring them to good news? And do we love people enough to bring them these good news? And then Dirkie van der Spy, who really blessed me, he's a Dutch Reformed Dominie, and he came to preach on to us on the working of the Holy Spirit. And it was so amazing, the whole message of convergence, that a Dutch Reformed Dominie comes to speak to us on the Holy Spirit, and he blessed us. And he said there's three things that why Christians don't witness in this world: fear, tradition, and selfishness. And he spoke to us how it came that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Christians. And the one thing that I really am very convinced about, that the Holy Spirit is not given to us for experiences. Like, ooh, oof, and then you fall over and then you had this amazing experience. The Holy Spirit is given to us to give us the power to witness. To give us the power to do the things that we cannot do. To give us the power to love people that you don't even like. To give you the power to walk in the peace of God. To give you the power to walk in a life of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. To give us the power to be friendly. To be self-controlled. Wherever we are, the Holy Spirit is poured upon us to give us the power to be these things. Not to go and sit there and go, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. He touched me. But your life don't change. I really believe God wants us to be holy because He is holy. But the Holy Spirit gives us that power. When we spend time in the Word, when we spend seeking God, seeking the Holy Spirit, God comes and He cleanses us. He brings us the truth. He shows us this truth. But we change. As people, we change. We cannot walk past someone and not greet them. That's not Christ-like. Jesus would have stopped and greeted someone. He would have prayed for people. The Holy Spirit will give us the power. When I pray for someone in need, that person will get healed in the name of Jesus. He will get healed. He will get delivered. They will get saved because the Holy Spirit gives us the power. Not for this funny feeling. And I think the one thing that I saw with the pastor summit, and this is nothing against anyone, but it's strange. We are power hungry. as Christians, we're after the power. We want the power. But the occultic people as well, they also want the power. The amount of people that go to F1 compared to the people that go to SOS is double. But F1 is where people get saved. When people, that's the biggest miracle that there is. But no one has the heart to take people to F1. They rather go to SOS where I can get the power. When I lay hands on someone, something amazing will happen. But no one cares about the people who are going to hell. No one wants to serve them. It's double the amount. There's something in our hearts. And I'm there. I want that. You know, I really want that. I want God that when I lay hands on someone with cancer that they can be healed. I want that. There's nothing wrong with it. I want to prophesy in people's lives that their lives can be changed. But I want more people to get saved more. That's what I want more than anything else. We must just get our hearts before God right. And this is, I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you guys. I'm just so convicted by the things that God has been speaking to us this weekend. Acts 1 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So, I just want to encourage you to pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, take control of my life. That we are being led by the Spirit of God. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That we look at the fruit in our lives. If we don't greet people, there's something wrong in your life. The fruit, because the fruit of the Spirit is friendliness. If you don't greet, if you walk past people and you're feeling down and depressed, there's something wrong. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and give you power. If your heart is not to reach out to people, to love them, if you're anxious all the time, if that is in your heart, the Holy Spirit is not there. Then you must come forward that we can pray for you, that the Spirit of God can come over you, that you can have peace in your life, that we can walk in the peace of God. God wants a broken and a contrite heart. He wants us to surrender completely because He has called us to be sons of God. The whole thing about sonship came through even before, and I was so blessed with us, with the intercession team, because they gave me this word all the time. God is looking for sons of God. He's looking for sons of God. That we're being raised up as sons of God. But not only sons, fathers. And I want to ask the older men in this congregation, men, we need you. We need you. Please, gentlemen, we need you. Donnie, we need you guys. There's younger guys that need impartation from all the men, because we have raised up an orphan generation, men and women that don't know fathers, but we need the fathers to impart it into the sons, because we have orphans in as Christians. We walk as orphans, and God is wanting to change this. God wants to change this. Louis, you're a father. You must become a father. You are a father. You must pray to the sons that God is giving to you. Malachi 4 says, and the hearts of the fathers, and he will turn, God will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Have you asked this question when you come to church maybe? What is in it for me? What can this pastor do for me? Why should I do anything? A.T. Britt said something that really shocked me. She said, when we are nice to our children, we raise a bad generation. We are so nice to our children, and when they're naughty, oh, that's okay. We're raising a bad generation. We're raising children with an orphan spirit because we don't discipline our own children. Then you don't want it to be easy for your children. You don't want it. You don't want to remove obstacles from your children. You want them to overcome those obstacles because that's how they learn to become sons. And sons doesn't exclude women. There's no Jew, no Greek. There's no male, no female in Christ Jesus. We're all the same. We're all called as sons. It's a position in Christ. We're all called to be sons. You know, and it's easy for us to want to remove that bully from our child, but we must learn teach our children to overcome that bully in Christ. The other thing as well is even in Jesus' time, people came to him because they wanted free food. Do you know that? They didn't come to Jesus because they wanted to meet Jesus. They wanted the free food. That's why he did those miracles because they were in it for the food. I want to ask you this morning, why are you here? Are you in it for the food? Are you in it for the feeling that you get here and then you feel great and you can carry on for another week? Because we do it sometimes. We do these things because we're in it for the free food. But we're not in it to come and serve, to really meet who Jesus is. The scripture came out so many times, but Romans 8 verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole creation, the waterfalls are waiting for us. The fish are waiting. The elephants, the rhinos are waiting for the revealing of you guys, of the first fruit that God has released into us as a church. God is waiting for us to release His purposes through the sons of God. But we must root the orphan spirit out amongst us. There's an orphan spirit in all of us. And I want to say to you, I'm the first guy that had to go and repent of this thing. I had to go and repent of a spirit of fear in my life. Because I realized I was fearing man more than I was fearing God. And I went to my knees and I said, God, forgive me. For I am fearing man. I'm not fearing you. Please forgive me. And I said, Lord, and I declare that You've not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Because you know why? Because I'm a son of God. But we don't believe who God is anymore. We fear men and what men might say to us. We don't fear what God is saying about us. And I want to say to you this morning, what can man do to you? Don't fear the one who cannot do anything to you eternally. Rather fear that one that can decide whether you're going to heaven or not. That's the one to fear. That's the one, if you stand there and the guy say, are we going to drink? And you drink because you're fearing men. Rather fear the one that can decide whether we go to heaven or hell. Discipline is proof that you're not an orphan. If you're being disciplined, then you are not an orphan. Hebrews 12 says, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves. He chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. When you endure discipline, God is treating you as a son. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? So if you love your children, discipline them. Give them a hiding. Because soon, it's going to be illegal to give your children a hiding. If we don't speak up as the church, we will get put in jail if we discipline our children, if we give them a hiding. Do you know that? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So I'm just, and when Sias rebuked us, and then Carlos came forward and he rebuked us because of this thing, we went on our knees and we repented. Said, God, you've disciplined. And then we stood up and we sang a song and we rejoiced in Jesus because He loves us. That's why He disciplined us. Not because we're bad people, we're all bad. We're all in the process of being saved. But recognize the weakness in you. Bring it before God. Say, Lord, I'm rude to people. Forgive me for this. Change your spirit. Come in me to change this. I want to ask you, are you open for correction? Are you willing to go to someone to say, yes, Adani, I've got to do, what is my weakness? What do you think my weakness is? Because I want to change that. Or when someone says to you, yo, Theo, you know, you've been very rude to people. No, I'm not rude. Or say, why? Why are you saying so? Because I want to change. Are you open for discipline? Are you open to become vulnerable before God? That you're completely vulnerable before Him? Or because of hurts, have you hardened your heart against the purposes of God? And this is for me, because what happens is someone comes to you, he says something to you, and you withdraw, and your hearts get hardened. And God said to us, be open to be hurt, then your prayers will be more powerful. When we work through the hurts, when someone offend you, you go and sit in the corner and say, God, I forgive this person. I bless this person. Thank you for that person's life, Lord. I speak a blessing over that person. And not get thrown by that thing that came against you. Because we're open, we're vulnerable, because you will get hurt. If you hang out with other Christians, you're going to get hurt. But are you vulnerable enough to say, God, unto your purposes in this life? then something I just want to mention as well, but Ross spoke to me about the independent spirit, and it also came through in the conference, but he read a book of a guy from the Congo, and he said the independent spirit, and he gave the steps, but it will always lead to rebellion, and rebellion always leads to death. Now, for me, that's a big one. If you're always doing your own thing, is that the independent spirit? I just want to leave it with you. Maybe there's some of us, like me, that we must just make sure that what we do is in the will of God. But that's when you spend time in God's presence, that you not always run after your own thing, but saying, is this what God really wants for me? Is this where God really wants me? Amanda said, heaven is not open for slaves, for orphans. Heaven is open for the sons of God. We must root out the orphan spirit amongst us. If you have an orphan spirit, you'll never enter into that place. You can't. Because God has adopted us as sons, not the orphans. Matthew 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And a peacemaker is someone that doesn't walk away from confrontation. It's a person that starts praying. Says, God, let your purposes come, Lord, in this place. If there's someone that you don't like, you pray for that person. You pray, and then you wait on God to speak to you how to solve the conflict that there might be. We are called to intercede. We are called to pray so that the spiritual atmosphere can change. The New Ages came 2 weeks ago, and they released curses, chants from Table Mountain over this area. I don't know if you've been going through tough times lately. Maybe you have. The New Ages are very awake to what's happening in the spirit. Rick shared with us that the Friday morning when we had to go and take the gates, they blew on the shofar. And a little girl that's in their children's church is friends with a Muslim girl. And her uncle is the imam in Paul. And through her, it came to him that the imam was very upset because someone blew on the shofar and he stole the blessing for the day. They pick it up. They're in the spirit because they awake spiritually. That's why they pray five times a day. Because at certain gates, there's certain spiritual rules that we don't understand. But they go and pray because they take that. Because they want to change the spiritual atmosphere. But we, that's why Jesus says, we have been called as the church to pray. We've been a house of prayer. Not to pray once, but pray all the time. Because God wants to change the spiritual atmosphere. But it comes with its birth through prayer. We must stand in authority and start praying the purposes of God. That we don't end up like Turkey. Because when we end up, ladies, this is what you're going to wear. This thing where they only wear, that you can only see their eyes, that's new. That's very new. It didn't happen 50 years ago. Do you know why they do that? Because so that other people won't see how the woman has been beaten. That's why they cover themselves like that. We must pray. We must pray for the Muslim people. We must pray that God reveals their love to them, that they can get saved. That's what we must pray. Not against them. We mustn't make war against them. We must go and love them into the kingdom of God. We must pray for people because God is looking for peacemakers. They will be called sons of God. This is the whole thing about the prodigal son as well. The prodigal son, as he comes in, God just showed us that as he comes, the father saw him and he ran to him and he embraced him and he gave him that the ring, which is, or the robe, which is righteousness, the ring, that's authority, the shoes, that's peace, and he had a fatted calf slaughtered, and they had a feast, which is joy. And in Romans 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God wants us as sons to stand up and say, Lord, we want our birthright. We want the birthright for this continent, for this country, for where we work. We want to be stand up and counted as sons of God. And I want to ask you to ask God for your birthright. Fred spoke to us about our birthright. And he said in 1 John 5 verse 4, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And he talks very graphically about birth. And what happens when there's no epidural. And when there's no Caesar. And he spoke about this one lady. She was in a place and they had to do a Caesar, but they didn't have any anesthetic. And when they talk about that baby, they go, oh, my baby is so beautiful. She didn't think of the pain that she had to go through. But what if there was no seizures and anesthetic and epidurals like in the olden days, 50 years ago? The birth, that the pain that we go through. And we as Christians don't want to go through the pain sometimes. But God is saying to everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That there's something special that happens in the suffering. Philippians 3 verse 10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. We want to share in the glory, but do you want to share in the suffering? Colossians 1 verse 24 says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Then Cornet Becker came and he just said, come up here. God wants to bring us into heaven so that we can see what He's saying. From Revelation 1, I just want to, you can go and read it, but it's the revelation of Christ and to show His servants the things that must be taken place. And then it talks about the people who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, even to all He saw. And He said three things, and He took it out of Revelations, three different passages, but we must become dependable and vulnerable before the Lord. We must become His servants, where we are dependent on Him and we're vulnerable before God in everything that we do. We must bear witness to the Word of God. What does the Word say and who are we? And then we must have a testimony of Jesus to honor His name. Then Gornay said to Fred as well that He has given us the keys of David. That God is saying He's giving to us the keys of David. And at intercession, at Bible school, I spoke about prayer and I said, this scripture I don't understand. I know what it means, but I don't have a full revelation of it, that God is giving us the keys of David that will open things in heaven. And I don't know if those of you who've been there. And then when I came home, Baron sent me the scripture and he said, he just believed God is saying this to me. And then Cornet Becker came and he said it to him, that God is giving us the keys of David. I really believe that God is giving us the keys, but some of us at West, that we've been given something very special. We've been given the first fruits of the sons of God. And I saw this weekend, and I just want to impart it into your heart. When Jesus saw the rich young ruler, He didn't condemn him. He stopped, He looked at him, and He loved him. We must stop, we must look, and we must start loving. God did not call us to preach the gospel. He called us to become the gospel. He didn't call us to bring the message. He called us to become the message. We must become the Word of God. We must become that what is in the Word. And he just showed us Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it's written, I sent my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The one who is crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight. John came and he baptized all these people. And then John was clothed with camel hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist and he ate locust and wild honey. And then he preached and said, after me comes He who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and to untie. I have baptized you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist didn't only bring the message, he became the message. And I think this is where I'm so challenged to become the message. Not to come and serve, but to become a servant. He spoke to us about Francis of Assisi in the second. He was a guy like me. He loved, that was before I met my wife, women. He loved drink and he loved to party. That was me. My BC days, I love those things. And then a priest spoke the following words from Matthew 10. And he said, go two by two, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And he said, you must read it again. And the priest read it again. And he said, read it again and read it again. And then he said, I will do this. So he went out and he started laying hands on the sick. And what he would do was, if a person had leprosy, that wound, he would put that wound, that thing, that in water, and he would drink it to show and identify with this person that I love you, that I will drink the, that That was who he was. He was the guy who said, if we, what he said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use a few words. Not use words, but use a few words. By your actions, people are already convicted. So when you bring the message, they will know because you live the message. You don't bring the message, you are the message. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. So this whole thing about serving and becoming a servant. Do you do this to be seen, or maybe for me or other people? Or do you do it unto the Lord? Whatever you do, are you a servant because you do, you maybe serve as a cell leader or something because you feel you have to do something, or you come and bring coffee? Or is it because you are a servant? Do we do it because of our heart of being a servant? And I just so know that God wants to change something in us as Christians, to take us to a different season where we do things, we do it unto the Lord. And he just said to us, we must discipline our bodies, that we not get taken up in the things of the world, that we do, we go to movies and we go to all these things. And Fred was so upset, and he said, why is it that people have all these things that they can go to, but when there's an opportunity to spend it in the presence of God, they've got all these excuses that they go to? But there's a place that God has called us as Christians to solitude, where we make ourselves separate from the world and to spend time in the presence of God. That's a discipline of Christians, where we come in solitude before God, of fasting, where we start fasting. Not fasting for cutting out sugar, where we fast. We say, God, I fast before you. I fast because I want to get rid of the flesh in me, because I want to be holy as you are holy. And to spend time in the Word, that we read the Word of God and allow the Word of God to transform who we are in Christ completely. That we become, that we not only bring the message, but we become the message in everything that we are. So I want to say this to you, that God has called us to become servants. Not to serve our brothers, or not to be served, but to become servants. Because he says, if you don't change when you see the light, he's going to turn on the heat. Someone said, West, I want to finish off by saying, guys, I honor you for what I saw this weekend. I'm so proud of you. You, the message that I was given here, you demonstrated outside. You were the servants, and I'm really so proud unto you, because I could see how you were doing it unto the Lord. You were laughing, you were smiling. Whenever we saw you, there was just joy. And I'm proud of you, because this was something that was demonstrated through the actions in your heart. And I want to honor you, and I want to say, guys, I love you, and I will serve you until I die, or I get removed by God to another congregation. Can we stand, please? Yes, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we can come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, that it's, Father, not our will, Lord, or the words that we say, Lord, and our ideas, and because we think that we will look good if we say many things, Lord, but it's because it's your word, Lord. It's the word of God. Because you've given us these words, Lord, because you love us. Because you want to discipline us, Lord, because you see us as sons of God. You want to change who we are, Lord. You want to change us to become sons. Sons of the Lord Most High, Lord. That we will not run away from the crucifixion, Lord. But we will stand in that day, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. You're saying that what is born of you overcomes the world. And I just want to pray this morning, Lord, for that you change our hearts, Lord. That our hearts will come to seek you, Lord, with all that we have. To seek your purposes in our lives, Lord. Father, that we will not come because there's great food, Lord. Because we know at those gatherings where Jesus is, there's great food. And I just want a free meal. But we will go there, Lord, because we want to be transformed to become like you. We want to be like you, Jesus. We want to be you, Lord. We want your light to shine through us onto the world. Lord, it's not our will, Lord, but your will be done on this earth, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that in that place you're saying that don't be anxious for the day of tomorrow, but when you focus on me and my kingdom, all these things will be added onto you. That we understand, Lord, that when we in your will, you say whatever we ask in your name, that you will give to us so that the Father can be glorified. Lord, I pray, Lord, for this new season, for us to overcome this orphan spirit, Lord, that we will not be orphans or slaves, Lord, but we are sons of the Lord Most High, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can just declare your love for us, Lord, that you love us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that each person who is here, Lord, is so loved, Lord, that you care for each person here. And I'm just sensing in my heart, maybe, I don't want to embarrass you, but maybe this weekend you served and you felt to yourself, why am I doing this? I will never do this again. And I just want to say to you, you did it unto the Lord. And he saw you, and God is so pleased with you. And he says there's a reward for you in heaven. And maybe there's a reward for you here as well. But just keep your focus on me and not what you can get out of it. For you, this was dying to yourself, and you had to die to yourself because I want to do great and wonderful things through you, but not in your strength, in my strength. When you are weak, I am strong. When you felt everyone is part of this, why should I be doing this? God's doing something different in your heart. Father, in that place, I just want to pray, Lord, that we will not have one brother doing all the work, Lord. But Father, that we will come together as the body of Christ, Lord. Because you say when one member of the body is suffering, all is suffering. Father, I pray that we will become like that, Lord. Where one member is standing in the rain, all the members will stand in the rain. But when one member is rejoicing, we all will rejoice, Lord. Our Father, in Jesus' name, do this work in us, Lord. Unite us in spirit, Lord. Unite us in heart, Lord. And Father, that we will not seek the flesh, Lord. That we will not seek soul power, Lord. But we seek Jesus. We seek Jesus with all that we have, Lord. To become like you, Lord. In everything that we do. Just as we're just spending time with God, maybe you know that this orphan thing, you have been asking God many times, what is it in for me? What can that man do for me? It's a lot about you. And you don't have breakthrough in your life. And you don't understand. And I want to say to you, this is the reason. Because God wants you to repent of being dependent on men and not on him. He doesn't want you to come and run to people that they pray for you. He wants you to come to him so that he can sort you out. Yes, there is a place when you run to people and say, please pray with me. But there's a place when we come to God and say, Lord, fix this thing in me because I'm a son. That when people speak against us, that we don't complain to other people, but we complain to you. Lord, when other people are working, that we don't stand back and say, but I'm not called for this. Because one member is suffering, all is suffering. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for the orphan spirit to be removed in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone that want to respond to that, if you just want to raise your hand that God can see you, is there anyone that just feel, God, the orphan spirit in me must be removed? I see that hand, thank you. I want to be honest with you, if you're not putting up your hand, you're not a son. Because a son don't care what people think around him. They think about what God says. And if God is saying, I want to root out the orphan spirit in you and you can't put up your hand now, then I just want to ask you, if there's anyone here that know they need to become the message. They need this thing in their hearts that prevent them from standing up for the purposes of God. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's something that it's always about me. Or you're feeling sorry about yourself, and you can never be spontaneous between people to love them, to hug them, to be friendly, to have joy. And you just want to bring this before God. I want to invite you maybe just to come forward that we can pray with you. And if there's one person here who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, today I want to make a decision for Jesus. I want to make a decision for Jesus. I want to invite you to come to me. I really want to pray with you. I really want to bless you. Because your life will change when you become a son. In Jesus' name. So Lord, I just want to thank you for your favor. Father, I thank you that I can plead the blood of Jesus over every person here. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is upon us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that your countenance rests upon us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be sons of God. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will walk with every person who is here. That you will do mighty and great things in their lives, Lord. Father, I speak your blessing over every person here. Over every family that's represented, Lord. Over every neighborhood, Lord. Over every street that's represented here, Lord. Father, I thank you that you've called everyone here for their lights to shine, Lord. Lord, everyone to be the salt on the earth. Father, thank you, Lord, for a confidence in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for revelation of Christ in our lives, Lord. Father, because our prayers will only be as powerful as the revelation that we have of you. Father, I pray that you'll increase our revelation of your goodness, of your favor, of your love, of your power in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for self-discipline in our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for solitude in you, for fasting of the things of the world, Lord, for spending time in your word. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are uniting us for great things to come, Lord. Father, I just want to speak your blessing and your love, Lord, on every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you, may He keep you, and may great things happen in your week. Amen.